Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are continuing to talk about lower chakra energy and taking calls for on-air readings. We've got someone in the queue we're going to bring you on in just a moment, area code 519. But first, we want to invite you to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook and on Twitter. Call in number 914-338-0164, and please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And the number for further conversation, 562-596-7818. Anything you want to say, Neil, before we bring this caller on? Okay. Let me unmute this caller from 519. Hi.
Oh, hi, Neil and Kristen. It's Jennifer calling from Canada.
Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And Jennifer, we've spoken with you before?
Yes, probably a couple months ago and then a couple years ago before that.
Okay. Your voice is familiar to me.
Yeah, I recognize your voice.
But for some reason, the Canada isn't familiar. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Jennifer, could you remind us of your birthday, please?
April 3rd.
Okay, I remember, and the year.
1970.
Okay. And what is going on? What did we talk about? Well, you don't have to tell us if you don't want to talk about you talked about last time, but if it's related, then it might help.
It is related. So last time, but the time before that, it was in regards to employment. And then I did end up getting the job that Neil said that I would get. But my contract ended, and now I'm unemployed.
Okay. Well, sorry about that. I remember this. I remember we talked a couple months ago, and I told you something, and I can't remember what it was. Maybe about a change. You're 48?
Yes.
That's why. Because it's the doubling of your 24, your karmic number. So there's a change going on right now. But and how long were you with that contract job?
It was, I believe, about roughly 18 months.
18 months.
18 months?
Wait a second. But you've been working at that job for 18 months. That's not what we talked about the last time then. It was like the time before last. Is that right?
No, I think, that was the time before last. Last time we were talking about, I was going through some issues with, and I still am, with my ex-husband.
Relationship. Okay, so, but you were at that job and you were there 18 months. And are you applying for other places?
I am applying for other places, and I've applied to places that I've worked before and left on my own volition, but I'm getting turned down for those ones. I'm not in a big rush to work, but, you know, but I'm very comfortable being home right now.
You have enough resources to keep you afloat while you're looking?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so your question is about whether you're going to get work in the near future. Is that the question?
Mostly, what is it in my highest and best interest to work again? Start my own business. Eventually, I will need money. Should I just be comfortable being comfortable right now? And spiritually, I've sort of let that sort of go by the way. Like I used to do, you know, meditations every week, that sort of thing. But that's sort of gone by the wayside. So I'm trying to figure out, is there a path that would be best for me right now? I'm just, I seem to not have my crap together.
Oh, so you're saying that even though you're out of work, you're not mm-hmm. really keeping up a spiritual practice. Okay, which you should be, I would say, since you're out of work, but because things are not, you know, in their proper place, you're kind of letting things unravel in multiple areas, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. What connection, if any, and if you don't have a connection, then try to symbolize it, do you have with airplanes, private airplanes, small aircrafts, pilot license, but the issue of flying? You got it. Either go ahead.
My grandparents used to live on Airport Road, and there were always planes coming in all the time, and I lived there too with them for a while.
Well, that's it.
Okay, and your grandparents are crossed?
Yes.
Was your grandfather mechanical in any way?
Yes.
Andy?
Yep, and he was an engine, like a hoisting engineer.
What?
A hoisting engineer?
Oh, uh-huh.
So that would be mechanical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did your grandmother love animals, pets, animals?
She was a secretary for horse shows.
Okay. Well, I would... From this validation, Jennifer, I would tell you and advise you from the other side, from the higher beings that be, to get back on a spiritual routine, which is what Kristen said. But now, from what she said,
there's higher validation.
Now there's a higher validation for it. So you need mm-hmm. to do that, probably because... What you have in your energy field, Jennifer, is a 4 and a 3. That's a broken up 7.
Which she has
it's
in her year.
It's actualized over on the year. 7 is the spiritual chakra. So what happened in your past lives was you split from spirituality. See, it got broken up between a 4 and a 3, which would be heart and then the stomach chakra. Which means that your spirituality was sort of based upon things of the earth. You had a contingent line about spirituality. Well, I'll be spiritual if things are going well on the earth and I get what I want. I'll be spiritual. And what happened from that was when you crossed over from that life, the powers that be said, you know, your spirituality was conditional. You should be spiritual no matter what. Why did you have to set it up that way? You need to go back to earth, do your karma, do your energy, do your life, and learn to be spiritual consistently. And you went, oh, okay, I'll try that. Now we're at a position where you slipped again. So in order to get your worldly goods in order and your dreams and your life, you need to go back to the original promise you made that, well, first of all comes spirituality. I let go of it. Not dramatically, but I let go of it, and I really should get back into that and consider it not something that is, you know, seasonal or occasional. I really need to show the universe and myself and my soul and spirit that I've made it a consistent thing like drinking water. You don't have to do it much every day, but you do it with pleasure, what you do it with satisfaction, not like, oh, okay, I got to do that. Okay, I'll go ahead and do it every day. No, more like it's part of the process of the journey, and I want to do it because it provides abundance for my spirit. Forget about my body right now. So maybe my body will benefit. So you need to do that first. And probably your grandparents are saying, hey, Jennifer, we're on the other side. We have this information. We're going to give it to Neil and Kristen. And we're hoping that it gets through to you. because we know that they're right, because we're right. And we're looking at your program when you get up here, what you're going to need to have filled in the blank spaces. So do that. Now, having said that, because that sounds like something you're accustomed to doing, you're expressing that you should get back to it. So now it's an easy, that's easy. You can do that, Jennifer. Aside from that, when you do that, you should be getting a job August, you know, sometime deep in August, not shallow August, but deep August, because part of the routine of getting back spiritually would be a karma. You got to kind of pay your debt. You know, you slipped, you forgot. So you'll do that for a while, relax, just have a good energy, talk to God, talk to spirits, really get fill your spirit up again. Hopefully, by the time you've done that, you will have, you'll be ready for the new job, which is going to be of a higher commanding salary than you've been accustomed to.
I just wanted to say something about her birth date, which obviously we talked about the 48, which is the doubling of 24, but I noticed also that her 4-8 is in her month and the combined total of her year. So there's some significance in the energy field she's in currently.
And 6 times 8 is 48 is a cycle.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
So what kind of work are you looking for?
I was in banking before, so I've been reapplying to banking jobs. I was with the government. Every job I've ever had involves dealing with money on some level. I was in collections with the government, and I did like that job, but I got laid off.
Well, you have a very business voice. Your voice is a very business voice. Your voice is the kind of voice that suggests that you're. That's the kind of work you do. I mean,
it's a no-nonsense voice.
Yeah, and it's very direct.
Yes.
And it's very honest and clear. You have a very honest, clear voice. And you're the kind of person that would say, well, this is what the rules say, but I'll see what I can do for you. You're that, you know, you go over the edge to try to help. You're not like a cold, nurse, Cratchit kind of person. You work by regulations, but you have a human being in you that cares. So you have that quality. And I think the energy of your voice is conducive to the kind of work you do. Not that you don't do other things, because you have this edge of spirituality and you probably appreciate life and nature. You know, you're just not a cold person. There's an extension there. You also have had problems with your ex, which indicates that, you know, and because you came back with karma in relationship, which says, well, you know, Jennifer, you have karma in relationships, but you're not going to escape getting married. You're going to have to get married, and you're going to get divorced, and you're going to have problems because of karma. So that wave came in and hit you, and you had to learn to be independent, autonomous, but not at the cost of always being alone. I don't know about that one. There's still maybe a relationship lingering out there with some karmic figure that's going through something right now, so they're not really visible, at least the one that I'm seeing.
What I can't remember what went on with your ex in the last call that you shared with us, Jennifer. What was the issue and how's that going?
Oh, we're just going through the court things with the kids, and he's being stubborn, so. And, you know, all you ever do is throw money at a lawyer. It's just not pleasant.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend it.
No. Yeah. But sometimes it's like a necessity when you're going through that kind of legal.
Yeah. My lawyer I threw so much of my lawyer, he got black and blue marks.
I guess it was coins you were throwing. It wasn't paper.
It was money wrapped up in a brick.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like sort of on the ones, it's, you know, we've been separated since 2012, so that's what we're at 6 years now. We're still not divorced. So I feel like the divorce will provide some sort of closure.
That's your master number too, Jennifer. So that was at 42. That was when you got divorced, which is
yeah.
And finally inverted inverted karmic number?
Well, I don't know what it means to you yet, but here's a couple of figures that are kicking around my head that may apply, they may not, they may be part of something, they may be too much, I don't know yet. But one is 120,000 and the other is 150,000 and a third in the parentheses is something like an 87,000. So do any of those figures register anything for you?
The 87,000 sent chills down my spine because I've seen that before in a dream and I wrote it down.
Maybe that's what you're picking up on.
Well, okay. So you see, and I phrased it in parentheses, which means dream. You know, it's like reality and dream in parentheses. So 150, you don't get much out of 120, you don't. Then I say in parentheses 87, and you saw that in a dream. So that's going to be significant. Is that above or below your current, your familiar salary?
That's above.
Okay. So now if we subtract, we're going to get 63,000. So is your familiar salary anywhere between 40 and 60,000?
I was making 52 at my last job.
Okay, so 87 from 150 is 63. So what I decided to do was subtract the 87, bingo, the dream, and the figure I came up with from the highest figure I mentioned. When I subtract it, I get 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yeah, 63,000. Your salary was 62. So we're close. So that's what it means. Now,
I have made 63 in the past. Yeah.
She's made 63 in the past.
Okay.
Has.
So there we go. That's even better.
52 was my last job. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
They all,
so
everything's
close.
Fitting here.
We're so close, we can walk to the beach from here. Okay. So what I think is what we're getting is a validation. And your grandparents seem to be part of the occupation of the reading, if you will, because they want to come through and tell you things that maybe from their position, they just feel compelled to do it. So we're getting validations about the plane and the airport and the horses and the money figures. And what they're really saying is it's not a deal. It's not a bargain. You're not bargaining. But according to your journey, Jennifer, if you get back into spirituality and consider it an end in itself, not a means to an end, what the universe should revert, the universe will should supply for you this new job where you're going to be making as much, if not more, than what you're familiar with.
But I want
unbelievably, it might happen.
I want to say something about her spiritual practice because I think a lot of times people will bite off more than they can chew in terms of trying to do too much. And I think that with Jennifer, she needs to start with a mindset. If she shifts her thinking and then, you know, then the rest will follow type of thing. Because right now she's feeling scattered. Am I right?
Yes, I'm feeling scattered, and you're right. I've taken steps, though. Like, I created a meditation room. I've got everything. It's all ready, but I just need the consistent behaviors.
Well, the building blocks right now are going to be spirituality. You got to go to the seventh. You're a spiritual person. You got to go to the seventh chakra and make that paramount right now. And just focus on that.
Right. In your, mentally focus on that being the first priority. I mean, before, you know, you commit to doing like 2-hour meditations every day, because I think that sometimes can be, you know, overwhelming. I mean, not to say that's what you decided to do, but obviously something happened just to interfere with your practice of dedicating a set amount of time to this on a daily basis.
Well, yeah, because, you know, in the astral realm, made a contract. It's kind of crudely spoken, but you made a contract about returning to the earth and maintaining your spirituality, which was broken up before. But I want to, and so we're getting that across to you, but I want to ask you one thing, because I just saw a flash. And this flash you're young. You're not that young, but you're also young. So what I'm
seeing, I appreciate that. Yeah,
well, you're not that. You're
oh, and you know what? I couldn't even hear the first part. It was all garbled. So.
Well, what I'm saying is that
your
astral realm is very important. So you have to be spiritual. What I'm saying, and so we have that understanding that that's what you're supposed to do, to get yourself unified and balanced, the spirituality, seventh chakra first. Now, having said that, I just got a flash picture. And what I was referring to in the flash picture was that you're not 80 years old, you're not 60, you're 48. Mm-hmm. But so the picture I'm seeing, do you remember the old movie posters that they had in the 40s? They had movie posters. They have them today, but the movie posters of the past were like behind glass, they were showcased. Well, I'm seeing a movie poster of a Humphrey Bogart type mystery with the trench coat, and he's got like Ingrid Bergman in his arms, and it looks like an old-fashioned murder mystery. I just saw that flash. I don't know what it means to you. Maybe it doesn't mean anything. The only reason I'm saying it, you know, old movies, mysteries, Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman. I don't know what to say. I mean, does it mean anything to you on any level?
I think it's maybe a flash to the future. I did have a meditation once, and I could see that I wrote a movie, and it was Columbia House is a woman with the draped, right? It was produced by Columbia.
Columbia Pictures.
So I did have a meditation once, and I went, I want to write a book. But then I saw that woman, and I knew that it would end up being a movie called Columbia Movie, produced by that.
Oh, okay. So here's what happened. Now you've presented to me enough information for me to gather my detective methods. You were in past life a mystery writer of movies. I don't know who you were, but you wrote mystery. You wrote screenplays for mystery movies, or you co-wrote or ghost wrote. But you, on some level, you did that. So when you came back in this lifetime as Jennifer, you have that recollection in your consciousness. And whether it manifests, it probably won't. I mean, maybe it will. I don't know. But that's not what this reading's about. It just pertains to the idea that there's a creative element in you. And that there's got to be something empowering about your female intellect. So whether you're a spiritualist, or whether you're a creative artist, or whether you're a businesswoman that deals with money, there's a creative energy in you, Jennifer, that encompasses all of the above. And what the elements of higher energies are saying is that you need to fulfill your journey this time. You need to fulfill it. Because you're a master number six, which is the third eye, the mind, and yet you're responsible for being spiritual, which is your seven. And six and seven are 13, which is a four. You're a numbers person, there's your month. And the distance between four and three is one, so there's 13 again. Simple algebraic mathematics. You know, adding one side to the other. There's nothing outstandingly difficult about understanding this. But what the magic is to convert it to a narration on a spiritual level, deduced by the numbers. And that's what Chris and I do. We look at the numbers and we deduce the narration behind the numbers. We convert the numbers into energy and then the energy into a narration. And then apply it specifically to that person. Somebody else born on your day and month and year will have a different energy. It doesn't matter.
Past life history will be totally different.
And the read itself becomes organic. So, yeah, you may have a fingerprint. Somebody else does, too. It's not going to be the same. You have a snowflake, but not the same. A birth date, but really not the same. When you have the uniqueness of interpreting a birth date on an individual level, which is what we're doing with you today.
Okay, Jennifer, well.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Hopefully that helps you.
It does. It does. I'm going to follow the spiritual path, as you said, and, you know, I'll be systematic about it and then reap the benefits. But that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it just to be spiritual.
Yeah, you've got to make sure there's not a means to an end type of
exactly
platform. But you know, anyway. Okay. Well, good luck and keep us posted.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. We have a caller that is listening. If that person wants a reading, 303, you can raise your hand. Otherwise, we will talk.
They decline a reading? Okay.
They're just listening. She's just listening. I know who it is.
Well, what's our topic?
I think lower chakra energy, which we've kind of touched on briefly. I don't know. We can talk about anything. It's a free forum.
That's a classical example of the lower chakra energy. It's with Jennifer, our previous caller, because we have two major portions of existence in coming back to the planet. We have our physical energies, which actually includes past life, because all the past lives have to do with physical energies that we either succeeded in or failed in, or came less than excellence, and in some respects we collected karma, things that didn't quite get fulfilled, things we did wrong. That this karma gets packaged into soul, but the soul is split in two: the soul connection to the physical body, the earth, the walks of life. The soul is still connected to that. And then the soul also has a hand in the spirit, and the separation that the soul creates between the body and the spirit. Well, the spirit really doesn't want to have much to do with the body. The soul does, because it's got the energy of the spirit in it and
but
the body.
It's body.
But the spirit is saying, forget this body stuff. I'm a spirit. I don't even care about the earth. Leave the earth behind. I'm spiritual energy, pure energy of spirituality. But the problem that the spirit has within the person is that there's this contingency of karma and bodily energy that the spirit has to put up with. So the only thing you can end up doing is, if you're lucky enough, you can be purely spiritual and be a monk or a hermit and God, you're spiritual and you're not worried about the earth, but in some respects, you always have to be. You got to eat and do all your functions. But essentially, there's no pure spirituality as long as you're in the body. It's impossible. But you can reach such peaks of spiritual. I mean, even Christ said, I haven't ascended yet. I'm still in the body. If you're in the body,
you can't
ascend.
Right. You're still connected to the body, to the earth.
But you can be, but the intensity and the levels of spirituality can be quite impressive. But anyways, the spirit is sort of like, well, okay, I got the soul and I talked to the soul, and hopefully the soul will talk to the body and get the body
to
understand.
To be in alignment
with
the spirit.
Yeah, that's it. And so what we got when we reach down into the lower chakra systems, we're getting a little bit further away from spirituality.
Yeah,
that's up on the 6th, 7th floor. It's like you go to a department store and all the TVs are on the 7th, 4th floor, and the 1st floor is cosmetics. You're not going to get, you may be in the store and know where the TVs are, but you're not going to buy a TV on the first floor. They don't usually have them there. Well, the body is as systematic and organized as a department store. The lower energies are going to be connected to basically earthly energies, which still have a connection to spirit through karma.
And they can be very overwhelming, as we know, by many of the clients that we deal with. It's very hard for people to be spiritual because, you know, it's, you know, they're struggling maybe with their home situation or with a relationship, or maybe they are, you know, wanting to have a career, or they do have a career and money is very important to them. I mean, there are many, many ways you can get distracted by the earthly part of life and then thereby cut off the spiritual energy.
You know, go ahead.
Well, no, and I was going to say that many people, you know, Jennifer was saying, well, you know, the contingency factor, you know, having a contingency for being spiritual is often, you know, I'll be spiritual if I get this, you know, it's like, I need to do this first. And then I'll be spiritual, which doesn't really work, unfortunately.
Yeah, and a lot of times people say, well, don't get me wrong, I understand spirituality, but I got to concentrate on this. So we understand the convoluted process of thought that goes into the contingencies of spirituality. Some people might take offense that just because they have a desire and an interest and a connection to the earth, that we're compromising their spirituality by this premise, but we're not. We're not saying that anyone is any less spiritual because they have earthly energies going on. We're only stating that the recognition of the importance of spirituality and the practice, well, not the practice, but the life breath of spirituality has got to be not contingent on, even, I mean, those kids in the cave in Thailand, what got them through meditation, and they licked licked tights and stuff, and they had good stamina, but the meditation that their older trainer taught them was what really got them through. And so that's a perfect metaphor, that when you're involved in the process of earth, not just struggling with a marriage or a job, when you're in a cave and that cave is getting flooded and you have maybe 2 weeks to live or more, but not much more, what do? They meditated in that respect. So, yeah, sometimes desperation brings out the best in us.
So I want to say something, though, because I think you said it better than me when you said life breath of spirituality rather than just, you know, some kind of rote practice. And that's what I was trying to say to Jennifer, because, you know, it's great to go into a meditation room and say, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, X amount of hours a day or minutes or whatever it is. But I mean, there are a lot of people that think they have a spiritual practice because they go attend church. And really, the depth of the spiritual practice is really not there. It's more of a physicality than spirituality. So that's what I was trying to say to her about a life breath, to have that,
right,
you know, on every level of every part of everything that she does.
Right. Exactly. You know, and I'm no expert in the field, but I can certainly say that meditation and things I was doing since I was a little boy. But the thing about breath, the thing that I've at least experienced about breath is that you never call breathing, that you never call it a physical breath. The minute you conduct the word physical breath into breathing, you are limited by physicality. That means that your breath is only as good as you're alive. Life breath has no connotations in it. Meaning that you're not breathing through the physical body, you're breathing through the spirit. And so the breath is not a physical breath you're doing. It's a spiritual breath. It's a spiritual breath. Now, a spiritual breath is very different than a physical breath.
Because the spiritual breath is eternal.
That's right. It's eternal. And so there's no beginning, there's no end. It's the breath of existence upon existence. It is and forever will be. So that breath is what the spirit holds. The spirit doesn't know about physical breath. As far as the physical breath is concerned, the spirit runs like hell.
There is no halitosis in the spiritual realm.
No, there isn't. There's nothing, no foul balls and no foul breath. But the and talk about foul balls, we can get into the lower chakras.
No,
but we won't
please.
Go there.
But, well, you already did, Neil. Like, of course.
The males can take responsibility for that one. But the idea that the physical breath, sometimes people reduce spirituality to physical breath, because when they're breathing, they sometimes meditate on things of the earth. Even they meditate.
Right, like what you're going to get.
Well, not only that, but
or even like a tree or a flower, nature. Yeah.
Trees die, mountains crumble, mountains explode.
Well, and there's something to be said with being at one with Earth. And we talked about that on previous episodes on this topic.
Oh, the beauty of that.
The grounding element of the Earth that we live in, putting your feet in the Earth, bare feet.
Absolutely. And you know, God knows Chris and I are like nature addicts. We love animals and nature and preservation before. I mean, all of that is, and the spiritual energy in those things. But
using them as a focal point in meditation is not the pure essence of
the pure essence. And unfortunately, the devastation of the rainforest is there's so much going on right now in different countries that the destruction of the rainforest is astronomical, making way for agriculture and industry and lumber. We're destroying our rainforest, and most of it's happening, I think, in Brazil or somewhere where the rainforests are. Not to mention the what we have here in the northern state, in the Pacific Northwest. But we're, as much as we love our nature, and as much as we abuse it, it is dispensable. It dies. And we can rejuvenate the forest. We can see flowers growing again after the forest fires, devastating forest fires, and small trees growing again. But it's always going to be a life and death process. The only pure essence of life is what is indestructible. And what is indestructible is the spirit. The spirit that's in the body, we hold, never changes. The soul changes because there's karma going on, there's past lives, there's all this responsibility the soul carries. The body certainly changes even as we live and breathe. The body's changing constantly and morphing through time from a child to an adult, then it's dust. The spirit doesn't change. It's the only thing of the human composition that is constant. So if we can tap into that spirit, that's hard.
Yeah.
But if we can, it's really hard if you think about it. But if we tap into it and we can bring our minds into conceptualizing what eternal breath is, not physical, but eternal, then we've made our bodies collaborate with the essence of everlasting breath. Very different. And then the body and the soul will be replenished with an essence of eternity. And that's all very different from just thinking physically, oh, I'm going to have a positive thought and I'll put it into my body and breathe. Or I'm going to think of just silence. I'll put it in my body. But the spirit, that's not commanding enough for the spirit to comprehend.
Well, I think it's amazing if people can start to conceptualize the fact that there is something connected to them that is that pure as the spirit and, you know, start to merge that with their convoluted daily lives, because then you start to, you know, iron out the problems, at least on a mental level. Your physical problems may not be solved just because you're connecting with the spirit. It's not a means to an end, but you can live in a much more peaceful
Well, you can't.
Way.
Because the spirit, I mean, the spirit doesn't really comprehend so much the problems of the earth.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Karma.
No.
But the spirit wants to, the spirit is pure. So if the spirit is moved into the body and the soul, the more and more it's moved into, the spirit's just going to consume it with purity and simplicity. And so you'll benefit.
So no matter what happens on a physical level in a person's life, that is going to help to balance.
It will.
Balance is maybe not the right word, but.
Well, it balances and then enhances the body into a state of sublime knowingness to where you're totally content. You know, there was this movie called Ron, a Japanese film, and one of the most significant metaphors in the film was the emperor was sitting style while flaming and angry spears were going flashing all around him during a war scene. And he was just sitting there serene. It's based basically a little bit on King Lear. But that metaphor was impressive to me because the idea of being serene is sublime. I often talked about when I was being charged by a grizzly bear, unlike that
what, movie. How much were you charged?
Yeah.
Did you have your credit card?
Yeah. I was being charged 4 rabbits and a deer. But grizzly bear was charging me. Now, that movie with what's his name? That won the award where he was ripped up by a grizzly bear.
I have no idea.
Who's that? What's that guy's name? Anyways.
What movie?
It won the Academy Award about 3 years ago.
You mean the one we saw? It? Did
yeah.
we see in the theater? It
yeah.
would it start with an R? Revenant.
Revenant. He didn't have much luck. Well, he didn't have much luck with that grizzly bear. But the same kind of grizzly bear charged me. And I just sat there totally serene, looking at the bear in a pure state of the best spiritual energy I could muster. And the bear just stopped and looked at me and smelt the air and looked at me. And like the bear, that a trained bear, nodded his head and waved his paw at me and walked away. In that moment of seeking pure spiritual energy, I was able to transcend the fear, the commotion, the intensity of physicality. And it worked. But it just doesn't work in dramatic moments. It works in the subtleties of all of life, in the balance of all of life. I was looking at a butterfly. And I went to the same state. And the butterfly, I didn't tell you this, alighted on my shoulder and just sat there looking at me. I went down, looked at him. It leaned over, you know, to my head. And there was this serene energy. Why? Because there's no communication. There's energy. The thought of spirituality is converted into energy. Now, that same thing can happen in the lower chakra systems.
Yeah, I remember, you know, recently, another example is when you were using the cat's litter box and then that, you know, synergy.
Yeah, I don't remember. I dumped it over your head and you were being very good about it. We tested your serenity at that point while the cat poo was going down your throat. You did a beautiful job.
You don't have to be so
there.
Descriptive. Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up. But our lower chakras, they really, it's weird because they really don't want to communicate with spirituality. They want to communicate with the here and now, with the satisfaction of the earth or the dealings of the earth. Chris and I are currently dealing with a couple of cases where suicide is quite possible. And one case where suicide was
actually happened, yeah. It pretty
not
it
with
mean,
a particular client we had, but
it was connected, yeah.
And when you get into the idea of wanting to end one's life, either through addiction or despair, depression, very powerful
right,
things.
Because, I mean, obviously you can end your life. You can be an addict and slowly kill yourself rather than, you know, plunging the knife into your chest type of thing.
There's all kinds of variations. But I always, you know, I say, well, death will do it, being anorexic.
I mean, there's all kinds of different
ways.
There's
all kinds of ways. Life is brief. And one promise that we have is that we will die. So we don't need to rush it. What we have to do is consider our life and be objective.
Our lives.
If we become too subjective about our existence, we get into trouble if we are in a bad state, because we tend to get into self-pity. We get into all kinds of problems. We start to get depressed, remorseful, and whatnot. If you become more objective and allow your mind to go to an attitude of the balance of existence and the criteria of physical breath converting to something much more powerful, then what you do is you occupy your life with an objectivity that transcends the personal dilemma. Now, sometimes you can't do it. You need medication. You need a therapist. And then, of course, some people just chuck it. They don't care. And that's our belief, is that that's fine, but that's karma. And that will be part of your next journey. That despair, which people come back into the earth immediately wrapped up in karma. They've got problems with their health as babies. They're born into a house that's totally abusive. You could socialize, you could put that into a sociological setting and just say, well, that's just the way life is. That's what happened. And then you can say, well, but why? Why? And when you get into the deeper question and the ultimate answer, at least it's our position, that karma produces our introduction, that there's a preface to a life, and that preface is a sequel. So you enter this world by the stream of consciousness that you produced in other lifetimes and the actions that resulted from that stream of consciousness. So if you're depressed and the depression brought destruction, You're
going to end up landing on the earth with a lot.
Continuing the story.
Exactly. Well, we were talking with another caller about this type of this, and she was saying, you know, well, you know, choosing that we choose what our lives are going to be like, and that, you know, we have this decision making process that allows us to choose the conditions of our lives, and yes, that is true. Choose our conditions, that's by our actions, really. It's
right.
Not like some conscious decision that the soul makes in the astral realm. Well, you know, I want to experience this on earth because it's like, you know, this is the trip I want to take. That's not how it works.
Not in our estimation. There are electives. We can elect to do certain things that we are privileged enough to
privileged
accomplish.
But if we're dealing with karma, like karma produced from a suicide, for instance, I mean, we're not going to be able to elect to eliminate that karma, and there will be certain penalties that we're going to have to pay once we come to the planet again.
Right, there's the earth and such as heaven. They you have consequences. You can't
right.
You can't rob a bank and then at the same time go to another bank and say, you know, I just robbed a bank down the street and I want to invest the money into your bank. They're going to go, what? You can't do that. We're going to call the police.
You know, you can contrast that with a person who may have done some good and not, you know, committed suicide in a previous life, and but they're still working out certain issues. Maybe all the chakras were not actualized, so they come back to the planet, but they're going to end up differently on the earth than a person who really committed destruction in his or her own life or others.
An interesting point, because the chakra systems of our soul, where the chakras are, they're not all in uniform. You might have done something really bad in the first chakra. You did something okay in the second.
Yeah.
So you have great relationships, but you stink at work.
Or even at the six, I mean, you can have upper chakras. They're not, you know, you don't complete chakras in order necessarily. I mean, you can, but you can have done great work in the sixth chakra and done terrible work in the second.
Yeah, it's interesting. People who say, you know, we're always behind in our rent. We're always on the move. We're always struggling, but we love each other so much and we've stuck through this and there's nothing that will part us. And we get by and we make each day work. But boy, do we have bad luck. That's a first and second chakra relationship. One being first chakra being not so great, and the second being better. So chakras, they have various degrees of intensity, either positive or negative in that regard, and they're never hardly in uniform. To balance is so difficult.
And then you have to consider all the layers of each individual chakra. So it gets much more complex.
That's why we have psychiatrists.
And I'm going to be calling one right after the show because this is very taxing on my mental state.
When I was young, when I was in my teenage years, I was going to a psychiatrist and I was explaining this chakra system to him so much, he went crazy and I was giving him therapy.
I'm sure.
It happened. So the position of a lower chakra, they're so important because they can disrupt the whole system. They become so overwhelming that we don't even, I can't be creative. Oh, I can't be spiritual. You know how many problems I got? Give me a break. There's no way I can get into that space. The lower chakras are so flooded over in the deck.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of the Titanic.
But creativity is a lower chakra. Third.
Right.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
that
there's a different degree.
Sixth, you can go, and fifth, there's creativity in the higher chakras, of course. But
in the Titanic, the people in the steam room, in the engine room, were saying, we don't care if you're whining and dining up there and you're playing music and having a grand old time.
This is what
we're flooding down here, and we have 25 casualties, and the boat's going to sink. Well, the lower chakras have the ability to create such a powerful
disruption
experience, and the management of energy can become so disruptive that the higher chakras can be in la-la land. There are a lot of people who think, oh, I'm fine, I'm okay, everything's good, and they aren't.
Right.
You know?
That's very true.
You know? So you have to think of being oblivious or ignorant. These are still terms that occupy the human experience. And if you're going to be ignorant or you're going to be nonchalant about the whole system, how the whole body works, you're not going to be able to perform in a satisfactory or outstanding manner without some sense of consequence. So those lower chakras are very, very, very important. Yes, we have to understand the anchoring of life, how we anchor ourselves to the planet, how we sustain ourselves, how it moves upward to making sure that, you know, we're balanced, we're manicured, we're clean, we have good health habits, relationships are healthy. Think about it. Is your relationship healthy? Are you with an alcoholic? Are you codependent?
Much less relationships with other people that aren't the main relationship. I mean, all relationships.
Multiple relationships. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Are you lying? Are you cheating? Are you not fair to your partner? All of these things cause the corruption of the lower chakra will affect everything. And then the spirit's sitting there going, oh, no, they're doing that down there. I'm never going to get anywhere. We are stuck. It's like a car in a pothole, and it's just spinning its wheels. The spirit experiences these things. And the spirit says, for what? Why are you spinning your wheels down there? Why are you creating more problems? Don't you understand that the journey is upward, not downward? Why do you insist on going deeper into the abyss then going upward into the spheres of energy that are enlightenment.
Well, I just want to say, you know, there are a lot of people that things are going great on a lower chakra level. I mean, they have wealth and, you know, all the things they want on the earth, but that's also a distraction. So just because you might have it together in your relationship and in your creativity and in your, you know, in your financial
complacency
situation.
And ignorance, they like to get together. Complacency and the satisfaction of security and ignorance.
I mean, and
because it's not, it's easy.
People like that may think they're spiritual. They may have an interest in spirituality, but it's just an icing. So really getting into the depth of spirituality, even though you've aligned the lower chakras on some level, needs to be done, or you're going to come back.
Yeah. And there's great mistakes that are made along the way where people profess to be spiritual, but as we know, some of our great spiritual leaders have attacked otherwise spiritual people and said, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know your name. I don't know who you are. You may look like religious and you may prance around like you're Mr. Spirituality, but I don't know who you are. And we know who we're quoting. So the idea that spirituality transcends the lower chakras entirely, so that there's no content of an earthly motivation, then you know that you have moved from the lower chakras into something much higher.
Okay, we are out of time. So we thank our caller and those that listen today and those that listen to the archives. Thanks for joining us. And we are back on the air Wednesday next week at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.